And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael, and I'm being joined by one of my co-hosts, as always, the Red Ranger, Sasha Kaplan.
The fabulous, the amazing, the incredibly sarcastic, who always fights with you on the ratings of the episodes, Sasha Kaplan.
Okay, first off, everyone fights me on the ratings of every episode, but nobody cares about that right now, because what we need to say right now is the episode that you're actually about to listen to was pre-recorded, and then we had to redo the intros and the outros for reasons. And so if this episode that you're listening to sounds a little disjointed as a result of that, we do apologize, but we had to record new intros and outros. And with that said, we hope you enjoy the episode. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing Foul Play and Trick or Treat. Yes, they've decided to do two episodes this season with the words Foul Play in the episode name. You had Foul Play in the Sky and then Foul Play. Although foul was spelled differently in the first one, it was F-O-U-L, and this one's F-O-W-L. Still doesn't matter. You still have foul play. So we're going to start off with foul play. If everyone say your segment, in my mind. And that's the quick run through. And we start off at the juice bar. Zach is doing a show for the kids, and Bulk and Skull try to one-up Zach. So Zach scares them with fake snakes to the kids. Enjoyment, and Angela approves. The others leave for the mall while Zach stays for Angela, but they get attacked by putties at the park, and a monster attack on TV changes the tone for Zach's moment with Angela. Zach uses Bulk and Skull to make himself disappear. Zach morphs into action and loses to the Peckster. Zordon tells Zach to return to the kids. Zordon has the others come to the command center. They morph into action, Bulk and Skull hitting on Angela, and they bring back Zach by accident, and watching the news gives Zach an idea. Zach morphs into action and suckers the pecker, whatever. Rita makes the Peckster grow, and it's sword time, and they use the mammoth shield, and they win, and the kids cheer, and Rita's mad. Zach is back at the juice bar looking sharp, and it's a field trip, Zach, not a date, you schmuck.
So that poor was Zach. Zach is, poor Zach. It's very clear that he likes this girl, but I do have to correct you. The snakes were not fake; they were real.
No, they weren't. They were rubber snakes.
You sure? Because they looked very real.
I just watched the episode this past weekend before recording. They were.
I literally watched it today. I thought for sure they were real.
Nope.
They looked very well. Kudos to the prop department for making some gosh darn realistic snakes. But also,
good job, Mark Richardson, because he was the prop.
Nice. But that was a little unnecessary. Like there were so many other ways to get rid of Bulk and Skull without scaring them to death.
But it was already established with snakes before.
That's true.
So it was already established. So that's why it works so well. Continuity. It happens sometimes.
Zach doing magic tricks is interesting because he starts juggling and he's teaching the kids about how juggling is awesome and you'll have so much luck with the ladies. And I'm like, that doesn't happen. There's an entire, what was it? There's an entire episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch where Sabrina becomes a magician's assistant and nobody thinks it's cool. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate them trying to make magic cool for, you know, some of the nerds that were, like, sitting in the cafeteria, like, reading comic books and not socializing with girls. It's a good way to meet people, but it's not gonna work. It's the 90s. Girls like musicians. But it works on Angela because I think she sees that Zach is really good with kids. Kim and Tommy are going to go to the mall, guys. Like, that's what kids did in the 90s. They went to the mall.
I think they still do, but there's just nothing there anymore.
Well, right now, no. But the putties. Zach trying to flirt with Angela was kind of funny. And as soon as he kept getting interrupted from, like, what Angela's about to ask him, I'm like, oh, God, she's going to ask him to babysit. which obviously she does. I like the fact that we kind of see how stressful it can be to, like, leave a room and then come back. Because Zach actually has to leave, come back, and then leave again. While also reassuring the children that everything is fine. And, like, I think Zach could have faked some kind of emergency and just left. Because it's not like the kids were alone. They had Ernie, they had Angela. But I think it has a purpose for the episode.
And at one point, they even had Bulk and Skull.
Exactly.
Because one of the great things he did was, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you're going to make me disappear by constantly saying I'm a goon. Ha 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 ha, I'm a goon. But the way to bring Zach back was by saying his name and by saying Zach. But the entire time, and this is actually one of the coy things where this actually kind of worked, where Bulk and Skull's like, nah, not gonna say his name. So it actually helped Zach. Like this is where Zach or Bulk and Skull as bullies actually really work effectively as bullies. They're like, no, we're not going to bring him back. We're not going to say his name. But then when he actually does come back and then they accidentally say his name, it just works out perfectly in timing. So
it does. But no, I think this is like a nice Zach-centric episode. And I also like the fact that Zach actually... It's not just, oh, fight the monster. It's like, okay, no, I need to fight this monster differently. How do I do that? And he actually gets an idea that ends up working out well in order to defeat the monster. I like when the Power Rangers use different tactics than the norm. When they do something a little bit different, something unexpected, like balloons.
Yeah, and not only that, but the other thing is that, like, for the Zord battle, this is the first and possibly only time we actually see the Megazord use the Mammoth Shield.
Yes, I caught that.
I'm like, because the funny thing is that, like, when the toys for the Megazord came out, it was like, oh, you could use the Mammoth Head as a shield. And you're like, as a kid going, I've never seen them do this before in my life. And yes, I can get my voice that high pitched because I can voice act a little bit. But yeah, so it's like, I always remember it as a kid playing with it. I was like, I don't remember the Power Rangers ever using the Mammoth Head as a shield. But yeah, but like the thing with the balloons and catching the Pexter's beak in the ball, you know, which was disguised as a balloon. It was like, yeah, it's like, hey, we're thinking outside the box here now.
So here's something weird, though. There's a moment where the monster actually vanishes before it can, like, land a real blow. I don't remember if it was on Zach or on the Rangers, but I found it weird that it just decided, like, nope, I'm not gonna land this final blow, even though I totally could right now.
He's like, nah, deuces, I'm out, peace. I'll beat you up later.
And I like how grounded it is in the world of Angel Grove, that, like, you see news reports talking about the Power Ranger, you see the kids going, like, no, the Power Rangers will save us. But yeah, also a 5-hour introspection on Woody Woodpecker should be classified as a form of torture. Like, I enjoyed Woody Woodpecker as a kid, but a 5-hour introspection is a curse.
Wow, I can still do that.
No, you can't. No, you can't. But no,
it wasn't bad.
It sounded like a fun place to go to, like a cartoon festival. It's like, oh, they're going to stream some cartoons. It's going to be like a whole thing. And a 5-hour introspection on Woody Woodpecker does not sound like fun at all. Like I said, it should be classified as a form of torture. Can you imagine? Ah, goodness gracious. Let's see. I like the kids being all supportive of the Rangers. I thought it was cute. And Zach, like, all of the Rangers are obviously good with children. But I'm still not quite sure where the attitude part of teenagers with attitude comes in. But I guess it comes in the fact that they bully Bulk and Skull. So that's that attitude part.
Yep. So for foul play, it clocked in at 20 minutes and 1 second. With an IMDb score of a 6.9.
Yeah, I think that's that's a fair score.
All right. Which now brings us to everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind, the quick run through for Trick or Treat. Mind blown. Which is funny because this is the actual Halloween centric episode, which is freaking awesome. It just took them forever to do it. So we're at the youth center and Kim is practicing gymnastics. And wait, when was the last time Kim actually practiced gymnastics? It's been forever.
I have no idea.
Exactly. It's been that long since we've seen Kim practice gymnastics. And then what she's done, she informs Trini and Tommy that she's going on the new game show Trick or Treat. But then Kim learns that she's going to be going up against Skull. But it's game show time, and Kim's a princess, and the other Rangers are dressed in medieval garb. And Skull's a prisoner, and Bulk is dressed as a mummy. Tommy gets attacked by putties, because he's actually not there. He's supposed to actually be going to a competition. Tommy then defeats the putties, goes to his competition, while Kim is still competing on the game show. The Rangers are needed, and Kim fakes not feeling well, so the Rangers can transport to the command center. They morph into action, and the pumpkins attach to their heads, just like Zordon told them, so why did you put it towards your head, you schmucks? But Kim destroys the pumpkins because she wasn't dumb enough to put the pumpkin by her head. And now the pumpkin putties attack, and now a rap battle ensues. The Rangers literally do a rap battle to punk out this big, huge pumpkin to bring out the pumpkin monster. Tommy is called in the battle as the Rangers are overwhelmed, and with the power blaster, the Rangers win. Kimberly and Tommy reflect on their defeats as a result of their duties as Rangers, because Tommy had to forfeit the competition, just like how Kim had to forfeit the game show. Bulk and Skull show up in the car that technically Skull won, but is apparently our car per Bulk, but then they get rebuked as it was found out that they were cheating and they lose the car. And that
so the justification for cheating was really kind of a cop out just to not give Bulk and Skull a car. Just gonna throw that out there right there.
Yep. So that was Trick or Treat.
So I am of the Power Rangers should not do holiday specials camp, like, ever. And they should certainly never, ever do Christmas specials. All of that being said, I think this is the one of the maybe two exceptions to the rule, where it's kind of Halloween-y without actually being Halloween-y. It's spoopy, kind of like, you know. I think it's funny that everybody wore a thematic costume to match Kimberly. That was kind of cute.
Well, I mean, also keep in mind that everyone in the crowd was wearing Halloween costumes because to set the theme. I mean, the host was a vampire.
No, I mean, yes, I know they were going to be costumes. I just find it interesting that they're thematically in line with Kimberly's costume because she was dressed as a princess. Trini was dressed as like a genie. There was like this kind of like fantasy-esque
Arturian
costumes and, or something.
Yeah, and then Jason, Zach, and Billy were all like, I don't want to say they were knights, but they were like
I think Zach and Jason were knights for sure, but Billy wasn't. He had a different
hat. He was more like a squire.
I was gonna say like a wizard, but sure.
No, I think all of them were dressed more like medieval aides, like to the kings and stuff like that, and squires.
Whatever.
Because if they're knights, they would have been in armor. They weren't in armor.
I find it interesting that Tommy couldn't be there before because he had yet another karate tournament. And I thought Bulk was kind of funny during the whole game show because he was kind of nervous at first, and then Bulk helped him with the question, and then the weird spider challenge. But Rita has like, did the United Alliance of Evil just decide that, like, we'll send Rita and let her have at it for a while? We don't care. Because I feel like she could have asked for some help, maybe get some, like, more impressive monsters. Even though I think this is out of, like, the last batch of episodes I watched, I think this is the best villain. because he raps. It's just, it's creative. It's a little bit different. The fact that he came out of a patch of pumpkins was kind of unique. Let's see. I also found it interesting that, like, Tommy wasn't at the tournament. He later goes to the tournament. So it was like, couldn't you have, like, he probably could have come to
the... Hey, man, they had to get the Tommy Oliver putty fight scene in. No Power Ranger episode is complete without the Tommy Oliver putty fight scene.
Sure. It's a really weird game show if you think about it. Like, it's kind of weird. Also, is a cardiac infraction a thing? Because it doesn't sound like it's a thing. I don't think it's a thing because cardiac refers to the heart. And an infraction is like a mistake you make. So, like, Billy could have said that, you know, they literally honestly could have just said a fainting spell. Or she's, like, having some stomach issues that caused her to lose consciousness. It's just, it's a weird line. And I know kids won't notice it, but.
But that's Billy's shtick, though. He oversays it to have Trini, because that's why the dynamic between Trini and Billy is so good, because Billy will say the super sciencey thing, and then Trini will come and go, she fainted.
I know, but, like, I think he could have said something better than cardiac infraction. This is where Power Rangers gets into the BS science camp.
Ben did the episode that the day science died in Power Rangers.
Well, there you go. You know, we could probably come up with an entire list of things that led to that Power Rangers has mistaken. Later on, we find out that they can breathe on the moon without helmets. Zordon also, I think we talked about kind of like, I think in the last episode of like how Zordon knows the things that he does. With the pumpkin, I think it kind of makes sense. They would have like scanned the creepy pumpkins as soon as Tommy said something. Also it should be noted, there's no Zord fight in this episode.
Yep.
And I guess this was meant to be a Kimberly-centric episode. But it kind of didn't really feel like a Kimberly-centric episode. It kind of felt more of like a pumpkin-centric episode.
No, it is a... It's a Kim-centric episode with Tommy in a supporting role for it. Because the whole message of it is... And this is the first real time we actually see this. Where they kind of go like... I could have won that game show if I didn't have to go save the day. I could have won that karate competition if I didn't have to go save the day. And so that was the whole, that's what, and the whole thing was really around Kim because, yeah, Tommy had the competition, but it was minor. It wasn't really something we saw. Whereas Kim.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it was established from the get-go that Kim had this game show that she was going to be on. And it was a major focus throughout until they had to leave to fight the pumpkins. And then she had the forfeit as a result.
Also, Rita needs... Like, I still can't get over the fact that she, like, creepily spies on the Rangers. At least with, like, other Ranger seasons, the Rangers had, like, a base of operations that either had, like, some security against the bad guys or, like, the bad guy didn't know their identities or who they were or where they lived and, like, could attack so that they could attack them. Like, you know, in Mystic Force, they had an entire, like, secret lair that was kind of cool. You know, there's, like, other places where that, like, RPM literally has the Rangers in a domed city protected from the bad guy, even though he still gets in. But, like, she just spies on them. She could just, like, send a giant, like, monster to topple the building and everybody dies, but she doesn't. She's a very one-track mind villain.
Like we've seen episodes where Squat is like literally outside creeping on Kim's bedroom window.
Yeah, that was hella creepy.
And like we've seen, like Goldar has attacked Billy in his own garage. The quote what Ben has said. It's like, why don't you just kill them?
I think part of it.
But then it's a kid's show.
No, I'm calling BS on that because later seasons have some explanations for this. That there's various tactics. There's reasons for the things that happen that works a little bit better. But like, I think, what was it in Lightspeed? Like in Time Force. Rancic had a certain set of criminals, so it made sense to only use one at a time because he didn't want to waste his supply. Plus, he needed them for other things. I think that using, oh, it's just a kid show as a cop is a little bit of a cop-out.
I'm talking about Rita killing them in their home.
I didn't say kill, I said attack. Nothing says they can't fight her off, or whichever goon she sends, but... The thing of it is that, like, you can have depth. You can have these, like, deeper conversations and deeper actions on the part of the characters. And, like, just because it's a kid show doesn't mean the villain can't be a little bit smarter. Little bit! Like, just, like, this much! You have, like, minusculely holding two fingers together to the point of it being microscopic. Like, she could do it. But that's a conversation for a season wrap-up. Like,
yep, which we will be having in 4 episodes. So Trick or Treat clocks in at 20 minutes and 51 seconds with a 6.8 IMDb score.
That's also a fair score.
So that was Foul Play and... Yeah, Foul Play and Trick or Treat. Can't remember what episodes we do anymore. even though we have been talking about them. And with that, Sasha, where can the people find you on the social media?
As always, geekgirl101.tumblr.com, at geekycaptain on Instagram. And, of course, that place where I cry in a corner and complain endlessly about what writers are doing to my favorite characters, that's geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com.
All right, and you can find me on the Twitters at thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, and, of course, everything is on the website at txhdhockey.com, and for this show specifically, /VFTG, which is call letters for voices from the grid. So with that, Sasha, take us out.
There's only one thing left to say, and it is epic. May the Schwartz be with you.
And until our next episode, grab your morphers and may the power protect you.
Oh, yeah.